Good morning, and thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Community Conversations, our show that airs each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. and provides recorded interviews on local issues. Community Conversations is our interim show that is temporarily filling in for our usual morning show until we can reopen the KRFY studios for live interviews. I'm Chris Bessler, the host today, and we have a pair of timely and interesting interviews for you. Tomorrow, May 29th, we hit the official last day of school for the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. And today we talk about this rather unusual school year with District Superintendent Tom Albertson and Trustee Geraldine Lewis. The interview runs about 29 minutes, and we cover topics including the impact of the coronavirus on school operations, how the school year is wrapping up, the free school meals program, plans for our graduating seniors, and the prospects for the coming school year. Following that, in our second segment of about 14 minutes, the talk turns to the East Bonner County Library. We speak with Marcy Timlin from the library about several aspects of the phased reopening of library services that have kicked off just this week. So that's the roadmap for this show. To start, here's our interview on school district matters. We're talking now with Tom Albertson. He's the superintendent of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, and Geraldine Lewis. She's the vice chair of the school board trustees. Tom and Geraldine, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to be with you.
Well, here we are at the end of May, when normally we'd be wrapping up classes and getting ready for graduation. But what a strange school year we wound up with. Due to this coronavirus outbreak and the health precautions that the district's taken as well as the state. So let's start with that. Can you give us, Tom, say an account, maybe a chronological account of how the district has acted to deal with the restrictions required by the state as well as the district's own measures on this?
Yeah, going back, it seems like it was a year ago, but it was really March 16th when we had an emergency school board meeting to go into distance learning, and as the state called it, do a soft closure of schools following State Board of Education's criteria. Prior to that, we were already putting a lot of measures in place as far as increased hygiene awareness, increased sanitation teams in our schools, on our buses. But we gained more information, it kind of came to us going into a soft closure. So in Lake Pend'Oreille School District, I'd have to say we really took two days, March 17th and 18th, which was teacher work days, to prepare, and then moved right into distance learning. I do have to say I'm proud of that from our staff of stepping up. There were some area school districts throughout the state and other states where, they actually shut school down for a couple weeks to get prepared. So, that's accolades to our staff and our community for, putting us in a position to be able to move in that direction. So that's kind of how it all got started. And then, we've been leaning on the State Board of Education and Governor Little's staging for us to kind of work our way through this. And that's kind of where we are today.
Well, so how has the distance learning been working? Is it, I assume that the kids are coming on online to do this, but what about kids that don't have access to the internet?
So we were already set up grade 7 through 12 with a learning management system called Schoology. And probably 5 years ago, we went to a one-to-one device district where students had a Chromebook that was issued to them. So we're really talking two different things, grade 7 through 12 versus the elementary. Elementary, our teachers really looked at things like Zoom meetings, Google Classrooms, but we really weren't set up and still aren't. And so there was a lot of packet work that went home with packet pickup days every 2 weeks, keeping in communication with families at the elementary level. So how has it gone? I'm a fan of face-to-face instruction. I'm a fan of relationships. I'm a fan of, people meeting together. So I think it's as best possible. I don't see it as a substitute. And like I said, a big shout out to the parents. I mean, you all of a sudden shifted a lot of burden on them of that relationship piece, and that face-to-face went to the parents. You know, with a lot of communication by teachers, but it's not the same. And we did, you know, kind of pare back a little bit. So, you know, I just say that the rigor may not have been there. We really pared down our standards that we wanted. It was kind of a need to know instead of nice to know. You know, we really kind of pared it down to make it as manageable as possible. So, you know, I give accolades around to everybody involved, but my preference would still be face-to-face.
Yeah, it seems like this experience has proven that face-to-face teaching just works better. It engages students more than doing it via these machines.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Tom, I will just add, you touched on this, but hats off to the parents who have kind of been forced into a role that is tough to pick up without any warning. A lot of them have all of a sudden become first educators, frontline educators of their own children. And it's kind of doubled their work, but they've done well. And our teachers have been outstanding through the process. I've been on with one math teacher at the elementary level, reaching out to students through an online format, and you know, she has success with maybe half the class, which means the rest of the class is relying on take-home packets. So it's kind of a combination at the elementary level, like Tom said.
Geraldine, as a board member, you're on the front line for public feedback, from hearing from constituents about what they think, or even correcting misinformation about how the district's dealing with this whole thing. What kind of public feedback you've been getting?
Well, in this area, we have people across the spectrum. Some are very concerned and taking precautions very seriously for their own health and the health of their families. And others are not in high-risk categories and don't feel as vulnerable. So we really talk to people from all across that spectrum. And I think everyone agrees that doing what's right for the children is kind of a mixed program. It involves being as careful with their health as we can, at the same time as making sure that their education opportunities aren't missed or slipping. And it's been that balance that I think Tom and the administrators have handled very well. I know as things loosen from the governor and from our Idaho State Board of Education, we absolutely are moving into, okay, what does this next phase look like? How can we get back to that face-to-face learning as quickly as possible in as a safe environment as possible?
I know that the district's instituted some programs specifically to help students, like the bag lunch program. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and whether that's going to continue on into the summer?
Yeah, so our food service program is actually it's the Department of Education, a federal program through the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture. So we had to petition and do some waivers, and what we do is called grab and go, and we chose some strategic areas and schools where we delivered that. So we chose, again, Farmers Didwell, Kootenai, south of town. We had a delivery out at Southside Elementary, and then we went up to the Clarkport community. And so as things progressed too, and I think what's interesting is we're all learning new things every day and no one has all the answers, but I'd say Bobby Coleman, our food service director, just did a phenomenal job of keeping in touch and making sure that we're in compliance and that we were also having the maximum flexibility to provide food for our students. And, you know, it started out just as a lunch program, and then it moved into a lunch and a breakfast program, and then it moved into a supper lunch in a breakfast program where any student, grades 1 through 18, no matter what school they went to, had that food available to them. And they could pick it up at one time. And yeah, and we're between all the sites, we're between 500 to 700 meals a day. And we will continue that. So we did just get permission to continue that into the summer. Yeah.
Will there be any other programs that continue on, you know, given the strange circumstances this year? I guess I'm thinking of like tutoring for kids that might need some extra help.
Yeah, we're working right now. And so we're going to say is what's the gap going to look like? I really feel, and this is my knowledge of education and what I truly believe in too, is the most vulnerable students during the soft closure are those kindergarten and first grade students. I think there's that golden opportunity for them. They're sponges right then. The older you get, the more resilient I think students are. What we'll be doing is putting some practices in place in the fall when we resume to be measuring those gaps as we go, but do it gradually. Don't panic. Don't create anxiety. Don't create more, pressure. And it may take a while to fill those gaps, but I'm fully confident that we will. June 1st, and we talk about distant learning closing on the 29th, June 1st is going to be the last, I guess we'll call it packet pickup at the elementary level. And there's just been some great innovative ideas and things put in place to continue summer learning. A lot of these are going to be some reading logs to promote reading throughout the summer, keeping some elementary libraries open for families to come in and check books out, doing a midsummer celebration on where they are with their reading logs, sending games and flashcards home. So there are those things in place. The only summer school per se that we will have in session will be our regular high school secondary summer school. And that will that plan has been approved by Panhandle Health. So
I have to guess. Go, Geraldine.
I was just going to say this entire situation has required an immense amount of creativity, and each phase the teachers just come out with great ideas on how to compensate for what's being missed and how to assist families and students. Just those examples you gave us, Tom, are perfect.
So as this interview airs, it's the day before basically classes are ending, such as they are this year. So how's the year wrapping up? Kids have their last check-in on the 29th?
Actually, the check-in is going to be the Monday, June 1st. And, we want to celebrate our students. So using social distancing, these are just some examples that are happening at different elementary schools, that kindergarten promotion to first grade. We're going to have that some elementary schools are setting up photo booths where families, just them, can come and get a promotional picture of their kindergarten moving to first grade. Sixth grade celebration is a big thing too. So we've got some drive-by celebration things going on. Each school is being so creative in the way that they celebrate. I know the elementary PE physical education teachers have been promoting a 5K challenge to all the students and their families, marking out and documenting their 5K. They get their 5K t-shirts on that day. They get their report card. So we don't want it to be just you're done. Sorry. Through all of this, the number one thing is our teachers miss their students. And so this is an opportunity to see them one more time using social distancing, but also to celebrate some of those key transition years, and then also to recognize the whole year. So those are few of the plans that are going to be happening. But that's going to be on Monday, June 1st.
Tom, you mentioned to our school board trustees that it's possible that to help with that transition, that there may be some virtual tours set up. Has that thought gone on, the tour of the middle school and high school, so that those students transitioning are a little more comfortable?
Right. Yeah, we've already got the tour from the middle school has been sent to the elementary sixth grade. And thanks to a community member, Sean Gavin, has volunteered his 3D camera so that they could actually get a 3D virtual tour of the building. So that has been sent. And so every sixth grade teacher will be sharing that with their students. And then Sandpoint High School has done the same thing for incoming eighth graders, just to give them a virtual tour, because we missed out on that traditional part where they would come and get to visit the schools and see what the next year is going to look like. So again, as Geraldine said, a lot of innovation and a lot of just people in the community stepping up to help out in this. So
specifically for the high school seniors that are graduating this year from Sandpoint High and Lake Ponderé High and Clark Fork High, what are the plans for graduation?
Yeah, we tried to push the limits as much as we could, but still staying within the stages. And Clark Fork High School is going to be the first graduation, and it's going to be June 3rd. And that graduation and Sandpoint High School's, which is going to be June 5th, are both going to still be in stage 3. So within that, we're following kind of some guidelines that were given as Panhandle Health had suggested. It's going to be in the parking lot. So families are going to pull up. They can stay in their cars. Clark Fork High School this year, we have 21 graduates. So we'll have a stage set up. They will go across the stage, minus the handshakes, but we'll keep the social distancing with the acknowledgement. Again, both schools, Sandpoint High School also being Sandpoint High School's parking lot, are working on having that on an FM radio station so that people could tune in to the FM radio station that's designated for that time to broadcast the speeches and basically the graduates' names and the whole ceremony. So still working on details, but That's basically the two graduations in the first week of June. And then Lake Ponderé High School has 19 graduates this year, and they've moved theirs to June 15th, which gets to stage 4, which allows more than 50, but still with social distancing. And they will be having theirs at the Sandpoint Event Center. And all three plans were approved by Panhandle Health. And so we really appreciate their cooperation in helping us come up with best plan possible to celebrate our seniors and still, be as safe as possible.
You know, kids have missed so much of their school experience this last part of the year, and it's got to be especially felt by these seniors. What do you hear from kids and parents about missing out on some of these key things like prom and athletic events and academic events as well?
Yeah, I think there's a disappointment, but I'm really going to have to say that for the most part, people really understand. I mean, they've accepted it, and I'm proud of our community for sticking together through that. It hasn't been. A lot of disappointment, but through, and I can tell you the high school communicated with, all the high schools have communicated with their seniors and giving them a voice in what they want their ceremony to look like. I know throughout the nation, everybody's doing this. Some people are moving it all the way into July or August to try to have a face-to-face. And, that decision was, input by the graduates that they wanted to keep it as kind of the regular time frame as possible. So that's kind of the direction we headed.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the next school year, because there's probably some big question marks there. How are you projecting the next school year, which typically began, in the summer, to play out?
Yeah. State Board of Education is going to give us some more framework and guidance. And just last week, we got that information that that probably won't be coming out till June 30th. So we'll be working with the school board on what that new criteria might look like. And in one hand, we would love to just make plans right now, but it makes sense to wait because we want to make the decision with the best data we have and the best information we have at the time. So we don't have that criteria that's going to be from the State Board of Education. Our hopes are that we're back as normal as possible by putting just some, new practices in place. But really, the social distancing part's going to be the key. How do we work around that? So I would hate to speculate on that right now until we kind of have that framework.
Okay.
I will just add as a trustee that without putting Tom on the spot for anything, all of the trustees are committed to getting students back in the classroom as soon as possible. Obviously, balancing that safety with the value of getting students in the classroom. And I know Tom feels the same way. We're all working toward the same thing. It's just what's the right pace. So we're hopeful that fall is as normal as possible.
Yeah, one thing this experience has shown everybody is that normal is pretty darn nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you predict that financial impacts might be on the district?
For this current year that we're just ending fiscal year, there was a 1% holdback on these funds. And again, we were in a position that we've made those adjustments. And then going into next year, Governor Little did put out his plan to have a 5% holdback on funds. So for Lake Pend'Oreille School District, that was equating to about $1.2 million in cuts. But, I do have to say we have such a collaborative community. We have a very good CFO and Lisa Halls. We've prepared, and so we've already, we'll finalize our budget coming up in June 9th, but we've already had public meetings out there with suggesting where our cuts will be. I guess I want the community to know that what's most important is the opportunities and the programs for students. So, we're not cutting any programs, we're not cutting any opportunities for students. We were able to find those adjustments without doing that. That's kind of the financial impact. I'm looking forward to students coming back to school in the fall. And like I said, if we have to make things look a little different, we plan to have as much accommodation as possible. So that's the financial impact at this time.
Do you foresee any special measures coming from, say, the legislature when they go back into session in January, or maybe the federal government that might offer some kind of assistance or different programs for our local school districts?
Well, right now the State Board of Education is talking about whether they should use some of their CARES Act funds to purchase a statewide learning management system. Like I said, is if they choose our learning management system, which is called Schoology, then that would be a plus for us. Otherwise, we would have to say, do we want to switch to one that the state's buying, or continue to use the one that we are already training in? We've had Schoology for 5 years. So again, a testament to our community and how they've supported education, that a learning management system and having one-to-one devices was not brand new to us, which would be unlike maybe some other districts. So I know that's one thing they're looking at, is using some of the CARES dollars for learning management systems. And then also, you know, some of the technology infrastructures, how do we increase connectivity into our rural areas and give people more connectivity? And I know I'm still kind of waiting to see what those plans are.
Okay. So
those are the two things that I'm aware of right now that are in the works.
Okay. Well, Tom and Geraldine, that's kind of gone through my list of questions, but open mic here. Anything you'd like to let your constituents and parents and the public know about?
I would just say thank you to the community for continuing to have confidence in the administrators and the teachers as they go through this just rapidly changing environment, because most of what I hear is positive. Even given the uncertainties and the differences of opinions, people feel pretty positive about the way our district is handling it. And so I just thank the community for that support. And it's been a tough first year for Tom as superintendent, but he has really stepped up to the plate. There's been a lot of new territory as superintendent, but
yeah, kind of a record-setting year for you.
Like I told the school board, I didn't know any different. So, but I guess, Chris, one thing I would like to do is, again, put a message out to the community that open communication is so important. And at any point in time, even as we're moving through the summer, we will try to always be messaging out to the community about what education is going to look like in the fall. But before anybody makes a decision on what's best for their students, is to contact us and have that open dialogue. Because, you know, even if we get to a point next fall, you know, you hear about vaccinations. You know, I heard this morning that the earliest vaccination might be available, which kind of got me excited, would be October, but it could be into 2021. So we don't even know about that. But then again, we also, until then, we want to be creative. We believe we're very dedicated and we're passionate about teaching students. And our educators here are very passionate about that. So we want our students to be part of Lake Ponderay School District. And we will be looking at every option to make sure that we can provide that for as many families as possible. So again, having that open dialogue and open communication is key as we're all moving through this together. So,
and you mentioned getting in contact. I'll say a great resource for anybody that wants information or to get in touch with you is the website. It's lposd.org. And you can find a ton of information there. And I assume that's where you'll be posting information on the new school year as we figure out what exactly that's going to look like.
Yeah, we've got kindergarten registration for next year already open, and it's also on the website. We've moved that registration to online, so you can start the registration process online. And, you know, new families that are going to be moving in and new students also will be working with new student registration that we can start that online. So, again, we want to be as accommodating as possible. We're really excited to be planning. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, being a former math teacher, that question is, you know, when are we ever going to use this? And I kind of look at this as a giant math problem. We've got the knowns and we got the unknowns. And we're still trying to solve the problem with some of the unknowns. But so by taking that approach, I know we're going to come up with a great solution. It's just we're still waiting for pieces of the information to come in.
Yeah, to push your analogy a little further, math is logic, right?
Yeah.
Ultimate logic. And so how do we logically deal with this public health crisis and this tiny invisible opponent that we have, this coronavirus? So
right.
That's
even the community members, you know, mask or no mask? Do I wear a mask or not have a mask? I mean, even that dilemma, you know, yeah. And Panhandle Health, you know, specifically said for our employees and for everybody, you know, that, you know, probably not require it, but to strongly encourage it. And then it's really time and place. If you're going to be in close proximity of a group of people, probably a good idea to wear a mask. And if you're not in close proximity, you probably don't need to wear a mask. And, you know, that makes perfect sense. So,
yeah, that's the logic until we get to that vaccine. And hopefully that vaccine comes really quickly, like you mentioned. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, there was an article that is coming out that said, you know, it could even be in October, which that would be great.
Well, Tom Albertson, school district superintendent, Geraldine Lewis, vice chair of the school trustees, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
If you've just tuned in, this is Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY. And that was our recorded interview with Lake Pendere School District Superintendent Tom Albertson and school trustee Geraldine Lewis. We have one more interview for you today, this one talking about library matters with Marcy Timlin of the East Bonner County Library.
Now we're talking with Marcy Timlin with the East Bonner County Library. Marcy, thank you for talking with us today.
Hey, Chris. Good to be here.
So we want to talk about all things library for a little bit here, but the library is currently closed, both the main library in Sandpoint and the branch in Clark Fork, as well as the bookmobile. Obviously, operations have been severely affected while we're dealing with this coronavirus, and we want to talk about how services will be starting to reopen. But first, tell us about the services that the library has been able to carry on during this period.
Yeah, sure. So initially, yeah, we closed and everything stopped. And so, but, you know, even the day that we were deciding to close, we were trying to figure out how to retain some services or, you know, when we could roll out. So hour by hour, ever since this thing hit, we've been just trying to figure out how to bring services back. So initially, of course, we really pushed our online resources, but we're well aware that a lot of people in our rural area can't access those online services very easily. But that was the one thing we could do for a while. So we had asked people to hang on to their physical materials. We wanted those to be quarantined. So a few weeks ago, we did start allowing returns one day a week. Our book drops became completely overfilled. And so we realized pretty quickly that we needed to turn that into some more time for people to return materials. So we are now allowing people to return materials 3 days a week. They can return them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at both the Sandpoint and Clark Fork branch. And those bins are open now from 8 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. And so that's been going on for a couple of weeks. We also started doing holds of physical materials just recently. So that has been something that is starting to gain some momentum as people are hearing about it. So now, in addition to the digital resources that we have always had available, we're bringing back physical materials. So if a person wants to go online, they can place a hold on their materials that they want, and then they will receive a notification from the library that tells them that their materials are ready for pickup. They can call in and schedule a time to come in and get their curbside service, and it's completely contactless. They drive up. There's a phone number posted right there in the street, and so they can call us and let us know that they're there. We'll bring it out and put it on a bench for them. And we walk away and we wave heartily because we miss everyone so much. And then they can come and pick up their materials and go. It's a pretty slick operation.
And when has that started? When does that start?
We started doing it, I think it was 2 weeks ago, just to mostly get the holds out that had been placed before we closed, that had just been sitting on the shelf, you know, waiting. And then about a week ago, we got through all those. And we were able now to start doing that for everyone.
Okay, so anybody can go online to ebonnerlibrary.org, your website. And if they've never used the hold system, it's pretty easy. I've done it myself many times, actually. You can find the materials you need. You can place a hold on it, and then you would be able to subsequently pick that up.
Yeah, so what we've been doing recently is staff would call you when your holds are ready. But now we have a new system that just rolled out this morning. In fact, you're the first one to hear about it. So people can actually go online, and when you set up your hold, when you get notified via text, or you know, you get a call or email or whatever, when you find out that your holds are ready for pickup, you can actually go online and schedule that yourself, so that, you know, if some people would just rather do it online. And you can schedule a time to come and pick it up, and it's just super, we're just trying to streamline that process, make it as easy as possible for everyone. So we're seeing a lot of changes coming out too, which is exciting for us, because we're trying to innovate ways to make things work, you know, in this weird time. So that's one of the things that we're doing. Along that same line, during that same time that we were putting together that online scheduling tool, this is another exciting development that we're just going to start on Tuesday. And we're super excited about this, because our computer patrons are some that we've been the most worried about. But we're setting up two desktop computers in the lobby, more than 6 feet apart. And we're going to start allowing people to make reservations to come in and use our internet computers. Every day that we would normally be open in the library, people will be able to make reservations at those times. So Monday through Thursday, we normally would be open from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. On Friday and Saturdays, till 6 p.m. and then 7 p.m. It's been a while. 9 to 7 p.m. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, we're open till 5. So during those hours, a person can schedule a session with the library to, you know, work on their taxes or check their email or look for a job or do all those things that, you know, there just hasn't been access to public computers. So we're really trying to get the word out about that.
And you said that's available Tuesday. We should clarify that this is actually airing on Thursday. We're recording it early, so as folks are listening to this, that is the computer's available right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good news.
Yeah.
So if people do have access to the computer, they can schedule it online. If, you know, if they want to use their phone to schedule that, they can do that. But they can also just call us at 263-6930 and dial 0, and we will get them scheduled into that queue.
So this is a question I don't know the answer to myself, but is there public Wi-Fi available?
There is. So you can, at both branch locations, you can park outside the library in the parking lot and use our Wi-Fi there.
Okay. And that's probably always been available, even during this closed down period. Yeah.
Yep. And the password is library patron, all lowercase, all one word.
Okay. Don't tell anybody. Keep that password secret. No, but library patron, all lowercase.
Yeah.
And anybody could park out in the parking lot and utilize the public Wi-Fi there. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So anything else that you want to let folks know about services? Is there a projected date that the actual the library building itself will begin to open again?
Well, we are looking at probably, unfortunately, we're looking at that last phase of the governor's four-phase plan. So probably by the end of June, if nothing, you know, things don't start picking back up again as far as the virus, and it seems safe to do that, then that's our tentative plan. And we're just really hoping to, as we get closer to that date, you know, we'll have a better idea. But so we're not really saying a specific date at this point, but we're thinking probably that last week in June.
Okay.
And then at that point, of course, when we do open up, there will be a whole slew of, you know, new normal things that are happening. We won't be opening the meeting rooms or the teen lounge or anything for the foreseeable future. And when we do, that will look really different. So we're hoping for patience. We're asking for patience. I know all of us are having to do things differently everywhere. So it isn't just the library. But we'll keep everybody a heads up on what some of those new changes will be as we start getting closer to that date.
So I'm curious, how personnel at the library been coping with this period of time?
Everyone is, you know, it's kind of interesting, because we, especially at first, when we first decided to close, it was emotional, Chris. It was like people, this is, library workers are not people who just go to work and clock in and clock out. I mean, they love our patrons. One of our staff was in tears the day that we closed. And so that honestly is the hardest part. We just miss people that we see every day. But other than that, they've actually been staying really busy. And they're processing materials, especially since we started doing these returns. Before the returns, we had staff in there sanitizing everything. The place is clean. It's crazy clean. Staff are now being able to work together. We're maintaining 6 feet distance. We wear gloves and masks when we're in the building. So that's different. But other than that, it's actually back to fun times. People are busy and working. I just got word this morning, and unfortunately, I don't have a lot of details on this yet, but I just learned that our 3D printers have been running, doing things for the medical community. And so I don't have a whole lot of detail on that yet, but I'll try to promote that in some of our other platforms. But that was exciting to me to hear about that too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks may not know it, but you do have 3D printers there.
Yep, we've got them in Sandpoint and Clark Fork, and we actually have two in Sandpoint, so we're putting those to good use right now. And a couple other things going on are we are doing the tutoring program still, and so a lot of people might not realize that and might really need that right now with school kind of wrapping up. We are still doing the tutoring. We're scheduling remote tutoring and connecting tutors with students. And so if you're a student or a tutor or a person who would like to volunteer their time to help another student to succeed, we're very concerned about what we're calling the COVID slide. We were always worried about the summer slide when kids would get out of school for the summer. But boy, this year, it could be even more of a challenge when these kids get back to school. So might be a good idea to get a little help over the summer. So hopefully people can keep that in mind that we're doing that.
Is tutoring occurring online, like via Zoom, or is that person to person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're using not Zoom. They're using Google Meetup or something, but it's a video conferencing tool that they're using.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Anything else you want to let folks know about?
Yeah, I think one other thing to consider, actually two more things. One thing is no more overdue fines forever. Okay, so
forever.
So far, that's kind of a bold statement, but it's a trend in libraries that they've been kind of pulling those, and it was a source of income for us, but we feel like it's a better service to patrons. Some people are afraid to come back once they get a 50-cent fine or something. They feel a little intimidated about coming back to the library. We just don't want that. We want people to use their library. Their taxes pay for it. We want to see your faces in there. So unless you've got a book that's lost or damaged, we're just going to forget about it. Bring it back in, and no more fines. Mm. So that was a huge, exciting announcement we made last week.
Yeah, I mean, we've had late fees forever on library materials.
I know.
I probably owe some in other cities even. Who knows?
I can't help you there, but, at our library, you're good to go. Just come on back in. And then the other thing I just thought I'd let people know briefly is that the bookmobile is not running, of course, because we don't want people to come in and browse in that little space. But we are back to running the library van in its place. So an alternative that we're kind of encouraging people to do if they want to, maybe you've never used the bookmobile before, but we are back to our regular schedule, which is posted online I think it's Tuesday through Friday that the bookmobile was out. And there's a full schedule that tells you where we stop and how long we're there. and that will still continue. And the reason for that is so that people can place their holds on materials and will actually bring them out to you at those stops. So you don't even have to come in for curbside service if you don't want to. If you live near one of those bookmobile locations and you want to schedule your holds to pick them up there, it's a contactless pickup there as well. And that might be a more feasible alternative, especially for some people who live out of town. So, so keep that in mind.
So what are some of the locations for folks that aren't familiar? Do you know those off the top of your head?
Well, not off the top of my head, but I'm right here. So we've got, that way I can just tell you what the days are too. So on Tuesdays, actually, let's start with Thursdays because that's what today is going to be. So on Thursdays, we're at the Old Hope School by Davis Grocery out there at noon. And then the on Fridays, we're at the Vay store at noon. On Tuesdays, we're at the Pack River General Store at 9:30. At Selly Valley Cardin School at 11. And I don't know how long that's going to go because I think once school kind of ends, I don't know if she's even doing that one right now, but then the Samuel store, she's there at 12:30. And on Wednesdays, she's out at Kerrywood at the Firewood Station at 10:30, and then at the Westman store at 12:30. And that's posted online. And I'm going to confirm those school visits too, so that we can get that updated if she's not doing that.
Well, Marcy Timlin from East Bonner Library, anything else you want to let folks know about before we sign off?
Just hang in there, everybody. It's a weird time, and hopefully everybody's out there staying safe. I sure appreciate what everybody's doing in the community to help each other, and we want to help you. So keep checking our website. We're updating things in real time. Things are happening really fast. So every time we roll out a new service, we're posting it there on our website. So make sure you keep checking that frequently and take advantage of the digital library.
Okay, Marcy, thank you for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our interview with Marcy Timlin of the East Bonner County Library. I'm Chris Bessler. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.